Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
One of the things that really struck me, because this is one of the issues that we've been pushing, is that what we saw evidence of was CSAM, this child pornography. This is the issue that the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office completely missed. And this is something that's so critical and could have put him away for life many, many, many years ago. So yes, my client Maria Farmer and many other clients are very upset that they've been treated with the back of the hand over and over. I called for an investigation of this matter a year and a half ago, and I got a big fat nothing. And I got a letter that says, well, the issues and the allegations are concerning, but we're really kind of busy and we'll get back to you. And of course they did not.
That's the voice of child advocacy and advocacy for justice for sex assault victims of Epstein, among others. This is Jennifer Freeman, leading attorney and advocate, dedicating her life and her profession to really protecting the victims of, you know, human trafficking, sex abuse, child abuse videos, and also known as CSAM. Discrimination, exploitation. I want to welcome in Jennifer Freeman. Thank you so much for being here this morning to talk about not only Epstein, what has been going on over the past 24 hours with the promise of more information and new details, Jennifer, but also I think it's, if there's a blessing that I can see this morning, is that we are having the conversation about this issue, and it's a critical issue in our country. Good morning, Jennifer. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. So good to be with you. And I totally agree with you. It is a blessing. Hopefully we will get more attention to this and more action.
And so before I get into the broader issue of this, just what you've been saying recently, well, you've been saying it even on different shows, speaking out over the past 24 hours or less, but also for years now, as you have been advocating and representing some of, you know, Epstein's victims, you know, the victims, the survivors of what happened. So first and foremost, your reaction to the, you know, the promise of a release of new information, new details, and maybe tangible evidence of logs and that sort of thing, your reaction to what has been going on?
Well, I have certainly been skeptical in the past, particularly given how we have been treated, how I have received such a back-of-the-hand response when I've asked for information, when I've asked for an investigation, when there's been no congressional investigation on Epstein. But I am hopeful that Pam Bondi and Kash Patel are motivated to actually get to the bottom of this.
I think they're motivated, and it sounds like now they've promised that they will, in fact, that they're demanding these records. I think they're throwing under the bus last night and this morning, in particular, those officials and intelligence officials, FBI office in New York. Do you think it'll happen? I mean, do you really believe that first of all, that those documents that I know you would love to see and those you represent were not destroyed?
Well, I do think much was destroyed. We have been told by numerous victims, witnesses, that there were videos that were prepared in virtually all rooms in all of Epstein's homes, and he had multiple homes around the country and elsewhere, which we were told were taping what was going on there. No one has ever come up with any of those. There have been, you know, inklings, but that hasn't happened. So is that gone forever? That may be gone forever. And the other reality is that there have been opportunities, and the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office have blown them to actually obtain the computers. For example, the computers that in 2005 to 2008 Jeffrey Epstein had, he left computer wires dangling in his home just before the raid by the Florida authorities. And instead of pursuing that and really pushing to get that, the U.S. Attorney's Office dropped the ball.
Yeah. And so, you know, I do want to, and I can't take for granted that everybody watching on YouTube or listening has been into this. I've looked at, you know, all the documentaries that are out there, and many have been done over the years. And I just do want to go back a little bit and talk about the fact that at some point over the years, and you alluded to it, that was the clip that Dan Borowski, our executive producer, played, that they had this guy. They had him.
Yep.
And they had him not once, not twice, but multiple times. I know he served, a little over a year at some point, but what do you see here with somebody being allowed to so-called slip through the cracks, and what does that tell you?
That tells me that there were higher authorities protecting him. That has to be what was happening. I don't have personal evidence of this, but that is logically what was so. Why did so many people give him a pass?
Right. And it goes back to some of the records that we've seen go back to the early 90s with the flight logs back and forth. And then after he buys the island, after he served some time, it goes back to very wealthy and powerful, influential leaders worldwide, not just here in America. And so realistically here, what are you hoping for, and what kind of calls or conversations do you have with, not just maybe individuals, young, women who were at the time, or girls at the time, kids who were victimized and survived this. But I know that you even know others who maybe you didn't even represent. So what do you say to them when this happens and they feel they want justice, their families want justice?
I am so sympathetic, yeah, empathetic to them. I understand this is the kind of work I've been doing for many years, and I know how painful and how frustrating and how galling it can be to go through this process and not get results. We're doing everything we can, and we will continue to do everything we can. I do believe that we may be at a turning point, and I am very hopeful that we are. I really am. I really, really am. These people deserve justice.
Yeah, they deserve justice and try to move on with their lives. But as well, I think there's a piece of this where, what we're uncovering is not just an American network, but a worldwide network of this human trafficking, sex trafficking, kid trafficking. Jennifer, we've heard the allegation that there are hundreds of thousands of kids, those who were brought in the country from out of the country illegally and brought in, and presumably by cartels or whatnot, and that there's this demand in America. And that's really the sick piece of this. No matter what we want to say about this issue, that there's a demand for these sickos, right? Whether it's coming from out of the country or kids who are maybe they're in a rough home and they're a runaway and they're now being trafficked, whatever that looks like. And so I think that's, for me personally, having my background as a news person covering this, these kinds of things for decades of my life, my feeling is people need to be aware that this is a real thing and it's sick. And it's not just foreign countries or foreigners, that here in America, there are these sicko pervert gluttons who are paying big money for kids. And so do you hold out hope, and do you think that maybe this will be a reveal of that network existing in our country?
Well, let's hope so, right? This is what we've been working so hard to try to achieve. But you bring out a very good point. The United States, we are told, is the largest consumer,
yes,
of child pornography, what's called CSAM, and the largest producer. And trafficking does not only traffic the kids, meaning, you know, sexually abuse them, but it helps create these images and videos that live on forever and cannot be taken down. And this is one of the things that many of these children and young women can't get beyond. The sex abuse may be over, the trafficking may be over, but the images are still there.
Yes. You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you can you tell me a little bit about your primary client, I should say, Ms. Farmer, and what she shared with you? And I know much of this, there's not a, I mean, she's spoken out, you've spoken out, so this is part of the public record. But what she has told you that happened there, and what you know, the insights as to what happened on Epstein Island.
Well, this didn't just happen on Epstein Island. It happened at Epstein's locations wherever he was. So for Maria, part of this happened in Ohio at a home that Epstein had, and she was sexually abused there. And not only that, but she images that she had, she's an artist, and she was then a young artist. And a part of what she did as part of her artistry is retain, maintain, and keep in a locked box images of her two younger baby sisters. And those images were to help her understand human anatomy better and to create her artistry better. And those images were stolen by Epstein and Maxwell. And she's never retrieved those images. So who knows what those images are? That's one of the heartbreaks, not only for her, but for her two sisters.
Yeah, and she, and so Maria was, she was part of one of the documentaries, right, that was done.
Yes.
She was interviewed for that. She has gone public for that and felt guilty as a big sister. You know, of course, she had no way of knowing that. So.
Yes, and she reported, but she did what we're supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
She suffers from a crime. She returns to New York City. It wasn't easy to get back for various reasons, but she got back. She returns to New York City. She gets threatened by Epstein and Maxwell as to what they're going to do to her if she doesn't keep quiet. She does what, you know, we're all supposed to do, and so few of us actually do it in those circumstances. She goes to the New York Police Department, reports it. The NYPD says, okay, we're, you know, concerned about what you're saying, but you got to go to the FBI. She goes to the FBI. And what does the FBI do? Nothing. She doesn't hear from them for 10 years. She hears from them 10 years later. They come to her home and say, okay, this time, this is 2000. The first time was 1996. The second time was 10 years later, 2006. And they say, well, this time we're really going to get them. We're really going to get them, Maria. And she says, look, I'm skeptical at this point. You know, you kind of didn't do anything last time. They say, no, we're really going to get them this time. So she helps them again, reports again. And what happens? He gets a sweetheart, separate little private pat on the wrist, where he's in jail for a short period of time in a sweetheart situation.
And so at the end of the day, I mean, I know she's spoken out about this, but she, for Maria Farmer, she feels like the FBI played her or failed her. Is that, I mean, is that consistent?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, you've got it.
And so that's the, but that was the significant piece of this story to remind people of this, Jennifer, is that in fact, now here we are on this day, the last day of February in 2025, And here we have a new administration with, you know, Pam Bondi demanding that that New York field office, presumably the same one, right, that that your client went to. And the allegation now by officials currently is that that New York field office, that those individuals are, quote unquote, withholding information. And so that, to me, this is all is, you know, I'm just trying to weave this together as we think about what is significant of what's happening today for your client and for her little sisters, now grown up. But I imagine that just this happening and being talked about and being in the headlines is huge.
It is, and it's painful. Yeah. It's painful to keep having to relive this, and it's painful to know that accountability is still elusive. It's not there. Because not only did the FBI fail her, but in 2005 to 2008, when the U.S. Attorney's Office, the prosecutors, were supposedly getting ready to do something and really hold him accountable, they dropped the ball again. And the ball that was dropped there was one of those that was dropped is this notion that there was probably something nefarious on his computer, and his computers were gone. They had a motion to, you know, to the court to turn over the computers. And rather than pursue that, they give him this sweetheart deal. They just stop.
And as I recall as well, and I always talk about media being complicit here, but was it not Maria Farmer, one of your clients, was it not her where she had agreed there was a situation with the media where a story, they'd put the kibosh on a media story? And I always want to talk about this aspect of it because there were other victims as well where they were willing to speak to the media or give information to the media. And then something happened from the top, and this is corporate run media, right? The so-called mainstream media, where the stories were stifled.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with that aspect of it. So
that's okay.
You know, that may be. I can't speak to that.
Yeah. No, there was, and I'm probably getting way too in the weeds, but I think sometimes it's important to weave together and portray this to understand, well, why didn't they just go to, you know, why didn't they just go to the media? Just like we're having the conversation. And in truth, there were multiple victims and survivors, I can tell you, who went to the media, who were telling their story. And I think they were believed, actually, by individual reporters. The problem was that there were people at the top who put the kibosh on this. And so that's
okay. I think I know what you're referencing. So excuse me for taking a moment to taking a beat there to catch up to you. But you're probably talking about Maria and Annie Farmers, her sister, one of her sisters, mm-hmm. going to the Vanity Fair reporter, Vicki
yes.
Ward, and trying to get them to talk about it. And she actually had a story that Vanity Fair killed. So
wow.
And it's not so easy to go to, she was the only one, okay? She, that we know of, that actually went to the authorities. And that story was killed probably by Epstein and his cohorts. So if that's what you're talking about, yes, that was. And also, remember, it's not so easy for someone who is the subject of sexual abuse, especially in prior years, to go talk about this in public and put yourself out there like that. There's a big cost that comes with going to the media in those kind of circumstances.
Well, and a cost, not everybody, to your point, I mean, it's painful, but also then to hire an attorney or have an attorney. You're an advocate, and I imagine, you know, you work with different victims. Maybe they can't pay for all of this, et cetera. But that's another piece of it. Our system is really set up, I think, against many of these survivors and victims to have a voice.
I think that's true. I do think things are changing and have changed because I've been doing this for many years. And, you know, many, many years ago, no one wanted to talk about it. Even if you could get, you know, someone interested in it, people just didn't want to know from it. But as our society has had to acknowledge that this is a serious problem in our country, there has been more of an interest in telling these stories. But it's still hard for an individual person to tell it.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, it's hard for that particular young woman or that particular child to tell the story.
Yeah,
there's so much shame. There's so much humiliation. There's so much difficulty and concern that this is going to follow them the rest of their life if they bring it up.
Jennifer Freeman, Marsh Law Firm, how can we support you in what you're doing and your important advocacy?
Well, you're doing it by getting the word out. You're absolutely doing it by spending the time. And also, as you say, weaving the information together in such a coherent fashion so people can really understand it. It's so helpful.
Well, Jennifer Freeman, thank you so much. We hope you come back again. Love the conversation with you and just to hear a little bit of hope and positive energy out of what's really just a disgusting, horrible situation. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.